Experiencing the glory of God again, as I thought about this text here, Jesus is talking about a lamp that should not be under a bed or under a basket. It should not be hidden. The light reveals everything. Nothing that is kept secret will be hidden, because it will come to light, to God's light. And then he talks about hearing. Those of us who hear, we will be richly blessed. And I would like to add, not just hearing, but to listen. And if we listen correctly, he concludes that we will then understand. And with the understanding comes to experience God's glory. When we talk about God's glory and think about Thanksgiving and this month where we emphasize Thanksgiving especially, we think of contentment. And contentment is very important in our lives. But I don't read anywhere that we should come to a point spiritually where we should say, I have it all, I don't need any more. You know who said that in the book of Revelation? I don't need anything anymore. I have no need of anything. And you know what the Lord told him? You're lukewarm. You're complacent. And this speaks to me a lot. So in a sense, in a certain area spiritually, I remain not content. Let's put it that way. Because I would like to see in my lifetime the glory of God among God's people like never before. I would like to actually see, and sometimes I wish I could go back and be there at Pentecost when the glory of God just was probably at its peak for the church, and the Spirit of God came down and filled them all. That was glory. The glory that surpasses everything that we have ever seen. Now we know that after this life, we expect to go to glory. But wouldn't it be good that the contrast between earthly life and heavenly life wouldn't be quite as big when we get there? That we have a foretaste of this glory already here on earth? Wouldn't that be nice? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus says. Only hearing ears, listening ears, understand and learn to understand what Jesus is saying. In other words, he says, if your heart is open to God's Spirit, you'll understand what I have to say, because Jesus' words are spirit and power. And if Jesus' words, if the gospel has become routine or cold to you, that means that you're not quite in sync with the Spirit of God. Jesus is speaking of the glory of God in our lives. Naturally, we can conclude then that we don't have this glory on our own. Because God has a glory that he wants to shine into each individual life if they open the doors and windows of their hearts. He has it. The sun is shining whether there are clouds above us or not. The sun is shining. So God's glory. God's glory is there. But oftentimes I see lives observe lives like a house where all the windows and all the curtains are shut, and daylight cannot get in. And people have this illness, if you will, that they are afraid of daylight. It always has to be dark around them, and they think they're allergic to daylight. Spiritually speaking, that's what Jesus says, that the darkness has not comprehended the light. That means this world cannot understand the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 12, and then I will later read the other verse too, they're all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. In other words, none of us has this glory from God on their own. We need to receive it, and we need to experience it to have it in our lives. And that is a conscious experience. It's not something that just happens overnight and all of a sudden you wake up and, oh, I have the glory of God. I didn't know that. No, it's a little different than that. Romans 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? If we have come short of the glory of God, it means that we missed the mark. We didn't make the cut. We were not righteous on our own. And we will never be righteous on our own. The glory that God wants to give us is only attainable through and in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus indicates here directly. This is why he says, take heed in how you listen. Listen with hearing ears and hearing hearts. Some people never receive any of God's glory, and others receive, those that open themselves to his glory, they receive an ever-increasing measure of his glory. And this is possible. And we as God's people, we should never be satisfied and say, well, you know, I have some experiences under my belt and I've seen God's glory and I think that's all. I think that's all God has for me and I don't think there's any more experiences to be made. Oh, yes. If you and I ever think that God, what you have is all God has for you, you're underestimating God because he's a lot bigger. He wants to bring us from victory to victory, from glory to glory. In other words, God is whispering through his Holy Spirit every morning to you and me, if we would just listen, I've got some more for you. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's a southern kind of phrase. You ain't seen nothing yet. God wants to whisper that because he has more for us. Have you ever been in a church? And this is what I prayed for today. I'll let you in on this secret. I prayed that whoever comes today would experience the glory of God, the presence of God. And when you come into a church that belongs to God, where the Spirit of God works, where the Spirit of God brings liberty, like the Bible says, you sense it, right? You sense this is nothing but the house of God. This is the presence of God. This is what I need. This is where I feel the love of God. This is where I feel hope. This is where I feel, yes, it's not all over. It's not all darkness. It's not gloom and doom. There is glory among God's people. That's what God wants. God has promised his Spirit upon his people, even in the last days. That promise is not taken away. The promise of his Holy Spirit, that glory that motivates us to live in holiness and in the fear of God, that's not outdated. And God wants to give us a lot more of that. I believe it is God's will that the church becomes triumphant and filled with his glory in these last days. True, we say, well, you know, as long as I make it, you know, maybe we have this attitude, well, when I get to heaven's gates, you know, I will be so glad that I'm there. I'll just limp into heaven and just say, oh, I made it, and then collapse inside heaven's door. Yeah, we're limping into heaven. No. God has more for us. He says, when we see the times, the signs of the times, of the end times, that we should rejoice and look up and lift our heads high and be confident. God, the God of glory, Christ, who has promised to come and to get his bride back home into heaven, and I'm part of that church, I'm part of his body, that we are rejoicing, that we leap into heaven with great joy and say, yippee, we made it and it was all worth it. That's what God wants us. That's how he wants us to finish our race here. Now, we may not do that physically, but inside, we should not whimper or feel defeated and discouraged, not beaten down and depressed and finally made it to heaven. No, God wants us to have greater power. And as his church, and I pray that God's church would have more influence on society as a whole. Because there is a great battle going on in the world. Which religion will take over the world? And loved ones, if you look at the statistics and you just look at Europe and you look at some things and how whole cultures change from being generally kind of tending towards Christian principles, Christian values, and how the culture changes to other religions, especially Islam and other religions, it's frightening. And it looks like Christianity is losing. But if we as God's people draw nigh to God, and let me assure you this, we may be in the minority, and I believe that God's true church, God's true people have always been in the minority, but we have God on our side. If we are on his side, if we connect with God through the hearing and listening through his word and through his Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible for God, and he can even change society, even in our day and time, and influence society through the Christian principles and the glory that is in God's church. Now, the Lord talks here about a measure of his Spirit. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. In other words, and I want to clarify this, is it true that God gives us only a certain measure? And we say, well, you know, I know this is all God has for me. There is no more there. In Ephesians 4, verse 7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It would indicate, if you don't read it carefully, that whatever God has given us, that's it. That's all he has for us. So, in other words, if you want to look at it in tangible terms, if he gives one $100 and another $1,000 and another $50, well, that's all. He will never give you more. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what the scripture indicates here, because Jesus says, you who hear, more will be given to you. Aha. If we listen, if we pay attention to our Lord and to his Spirit, if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to his word, he will give us more. And don't we want more? Of course. And we shouldn't be shy to ask God for more. Lead me into more grace. Lead me into a deeper peace. Lead me into more joy. Lead me into more strength and power. Lead me into more light of your word, a better understanding of your word. This prayer can be prayed day and night, and God is willing to give us listening ears so that we will understand more. Don't we understand a lot more today than we did 10 years ago? I do. And I hope it keeps on like this. I hope I can do better the next 10 years. So what is God's goal in measuring out his spirit and his glory and presence in our lives? In Ephesians 4, verse 13, it says, "Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." What is the measure and the stature that God wants us to attain? The fullness of Christ. In him is all the fullness of the glory and of the majesty and of the power of God. So he wants us to become like Christ. Isn't that a little too high to think? God wants me to become like Christ. So if we are going to live God's way, our goal should be to have an ever-increasing measure of God's glory. And again, how do we attain it? By paying attention and listening. Listening to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God speak to us. Listening to God's communication to us. The measure of faith is to serve and to supply the rest of the body, to be a blessing in the church. Some people have the attitude, and this happens because we live in a very consumerism world where everything is like, what's in it for me? I want to get. And we can have that attitude in the church to the extent, well, I want to get a good sermon. I want to get and hear a good choir song. I want to get a good service. I want to get something out of the church. But listen to what Ephesians 4 verse 6 says, how we are to contribute to the body of Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. And this is speaking about the church. And compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, let me explain this. This is kind of heavy biblical talk here. That every member fits jointly together. It's the building, the body of Christ. As the hand is in need of the foot, and vice versa, as the eye is in need of the ear, and vice versa, so it is with the members of the body of Christ. And it says every joint supplies. Supplies what? Supplies grace, supplies blessings, because this is where the glory of God is multiplied. If God is in your heart and is in my heart, if his grace is in our hearts, and we encourage one another, and we just enjoy each other's fellowship, then we make the body of Christ to increase, and we edify the body of Christ. Edify means encourage and build up. And all of that in love. That's where the glory of God is. We say, well, you know, that's not a big deal. We would like to see a light shining from heaven. This is the light that Jesus talks about. Because we who let our light shine, we understand what Jesus wants from us, and we have listened. And I would like to make the case that every member of God's church, every member of the body of Christ is a working, contributing member. Well, not all members are contributing in a positive way, because there's always, in some churches at least, there's always some grumblers, some complainers. Well, you know, that song, that should have been sung differently. Or there was a mistake that I found. I found a mistake in the bulletin, and that's really bad. And we can focus on the negative all day long. See, we're all working, right? But if we work that way, it's not the glory. We're actually hindering the glory of God. If we work in a positive way and we ask ourselves, how can I be a blessing to someone today? How can I encourage the saints? So important. That's God's glory. So 100% of the members in the church are always working. Some working for and some working against. So I would like to ask us the next question. How do we contribute to the health in the body of Christ, the health of the church? Because the Bible says if one member suffers, we all suffer, right? Now, it doesn't say that that suffering is self-inflicted, that suffering is something that comes out of a sinful life. It simply says if one member suffers, we suffer with them. But our source of faith and love and grace and mercy and glory is Jesus Christ, and he has measured God has a standard where he wants the church, the body of Christ, to be healthy. And I ask myself many times, is it healthy that 20% of the members of the church do 80% of the work, the volunteer work? It's probably not healthy, but in most churches that's the case. So I ask again, how do we contribute to the health of the church, of the body of Christ? That is when we listen carefully, is what Jesus indicates. He gives us the measure of faith. He wants us to have more. So we all need a greater measure of God's glory and presence in our lives. How do we get that? See, God's promises have not changed. The Lord is preparing, and just think of this, the Lord is preparing or has prepared so much for you. And if we're not careful, we can get so distracted, so bogged down with our own problems, our own feelings, our own ups and downs, our own confusion, that we don't even remember that God has a lot more for us if we only trust him. If God and when God pours out his Spirit in the church, like he did in past times, do you want to be part of it? I would like to be right in the middle of it. I would like to receive that full glory again. How can we obtain the greater, ever-increasing measure of Christ's glory? How is this possible? Look at the text again. Verse 24, he said to them, take heed what you hear. Let's stop there. Take heed what you hear. Because what we hear can either discourage us or encourage us. How we hear is very important. And if someone calls you on Monday or Tuesday or during the week sometimes says, have you heard so-and-so, so-and-so, and they should not do this, they should not do this, and you judge them and this person judges that and that person, what's that going to do to the glory of God in our lives? It's not going to help. Take heed what you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear, that listen, that pay attention, more shall be given. That's the promise of Jesus. Jesus says, according to the portion of yourself you allot to me. In other words, the more we allow Christ to be part of our lives, to be in our lives, in every area of life, the finances, health, and everything, work and school and what we do with our time, everything, to allow Christ to be all in all in our lives, he says, then I will give back to you in like portion. In short, I'll deal with you in the manner you deal with me. That's basically what he's indicating. Whatever measure you mete out to me, I'll mete out to you. So if we're generous towards God, he will be generous towards us. Not that we can earn it, but he wants to see the willingness and the attentiveness of our hearts and minds. And then he can pour in more. Now, I believe that spiritual laziness can be a cause of the loss of God's glory. And I call it complacency. In Proverbs, we read, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. If we are spiritually lazy, we will suffer hunger. We will suffer drought in our spiritual life. In Proverbs 24, verse 33 and 34, it says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man. If we as a church fall asleep spiritually, if we individual believers fall asleep, then trouble lies ahead. Then we have nothing to look forward to. And this is very important. The Bible warns us not to become complacent. Israel is an example. When they had a lot in material things, they lost interest in the things of God. Jesus talks about the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. 5 of them were foolish, it says. They did not see the need to get extra oil for their lamps. They said, Lord will come soon. I'm ready. I have the salvation. I have everything. And then when the Lord tarried, they didn't make it because they fell asleep. They became complacent. It was having versus not having. The 5 that were wise, they had taken everything they could. They had drained their heavenly bank account and had said, everything that we can get, we want to get now. We want to have everything possible. We want to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We want to have spiritual gifts. We want to have all of it. And we will not rest until we have all of it. And they made it in the end. Read Matthew chapter 25 at home. What happened in Israel that can happen to the church in North America as well? The major cause for the loss of God's glory was not alcohol, not drugs and addictions and all these sins, not even pornography. The major cause is the spirit of complacency, the lukewarmness. Christians allot a lot of hours and other things, and entertainment and sports. Do we allot even close to that to prayer and to the services and worship services? See, this is very important, what we do with our time as well. Isn't it interesting when it comes to performances like special concerts or even sports events that the seats in the front are always purchased first? And they're the most expensive. Now, some of us, we treat the church like that. Well, if I sit in the front pew, that's the most expensive. Then I have to give more. Actually, we should have it reversed. We should have those that sit in the back pay more. No, we don't ask anybody to pay a certain amount, or we don't do that. But what I wanted to say is, in other things, in other events, we want to sit up front. Now, I understand that you don't want to sit up front because you want to remain in, you know, out of the spitting distance of the pastor, you know, in case, you know, spit flies. And I understand that. But we allot a lot of time, a lot of effort to other things that are not spiritual. And I think we need to once in a while just take stock and say, how is my life? How am I doing? How much time do I actually spend? And all these other things that are not really helping me spiritually. And how much time do I spend that is actually promoting and increasing God's glory in my life? I read this, and I want to read this back to you. This has been years ago that I read this. Someone writes, God has given his church notice. And that caught my eye. And the message underneath that title was, all this lukewarmness and apathy I see, it's enough, says God. I'm going to end it. Not as a threat, not spoken in anger. God says to his church, I placed you, church, in this neighborhood, in this community, in this town for a reason. I want it to abound in measureless glory. I want the lost to know that when they walk in here, that something powerful is happening. I want them to realize this is what I've been looking for all my life. I have found that great peace that surpasses all understanding. That's God's will for his church. And it is my prayer that we remember God's promises of his presence, that when we draw nigh, in James chapter 4, verse 8, when we draw nigh to God, that he draws nigh to us. Now, we have to believe it to experience it. Because if we don't believe it, if we stop believing in prayer and in the power of prayer and the power of God's presence in prayer, then we'll stop praying. So Jesus' statement is a direct challenge to us. He asks us, how desperately do you want my presence in your life? If you want more, it's going to require something of you. Yet, I promise you, if you make an effort to draw closer to me, giving me an ever greater measure of yourself, I'll mete out greater amounts of my glory to you. I'll keep coming back to you with more and more and more. That's what Jesus is saying here. This is what we need to listen to. Let's not focus our eyes on the negative, but on Christ only. Seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And then all these things shall be added to you. Jesus is inviting us, keep giving me more of yourself. Keep giving me more of your time, and I will pour out more of my glory in your life. All your worldly affairs can wait. They can be put on hold. It's okay if they wait. Seek me first instead, he says, through this word in Matthew 6. And he says, I'll take care of your concerns. I won't leave you nor forsake you. I can do more for you in 1 hour than you can do all your life trying by yourself. Ephesians 6, verse 20. Now, I want to close with this. Oh, there's one more that I want to give. These two scriptures here. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do, how? Able to give you bits and pieces, little drips here and there. Your prayers won't be in vain, but you will get a little bit, so you get a little taste. No, the Bible says here, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above. That's a triple whammy right here, a triple promise. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's his glory. Him we trust. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Does sound too good to be true, right? Get excited about the things of God and never lose that excitement. That is what Jesus is telling us here. Pay attention, listen, and understand what God has for you. Go for it, and God will bless you. Amen.